You're listening to CRKC, and as always, we're delighted to bring you Ireland's only regular astronomy slot. And joining me once again is David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine, to guide us through what's happening in our skies this week. David, you're very welcome to the programme, as usual.
Thank you very much.
Now, David, last week we spoke about the incredibly close encounter between Venus and the Moon. Now, much of Ireland was under thick cloud, but some dedicated observers still managed to catch brief glimpses and even photograph it. How special was that event?
Yes, and I was one of them, so I can tell you it was an amazing sight. Even before the sun set, I could see the Moon easily. People have often seen the Moon, I'm sure, in daylight. And because you now knew that Venus was just above it and very close, the Moon was away, you could see Venus with the naked eye as well. And as the night wore on, as the sun set, it started to get a bit dark. It was an amazing sight, the naked eye. I managed to get a few brief glimpses through cracks and clouds and a few photographs. So did Anthony Lynch in Dublin on the north side of the city. And also other people managed to get it as well. So it's not that rare for Venus to pass close to the Moon, but to pass that close is quite rare. It'll get close next month on the 17th of July, but I think they'll be about 8 times further apart. So this was a special thing. If you're like me and you knew it was going to happen, we alerted you to it on the radio show last week, then yeah. You stood outside from 10 till midnight and waited for those few seconds to get a glimpse. And anyone who did that, lucky. Anybody else, I'm afraid, didn't.
Now, you personally spent a long time waiting for breaks in the cloud cover. It sounds like me, like someone, it would suit people who go fishing because waiting to catch the fish. Tell us about your experience and why moments like that make amateur astronomy so rewarding, David.
Yeah, well, I've often said this, you know, the Irish weather for astronomers can be summed up with two words, mostly cloudy. In fact, look at the statistics. About 3 out of 4 nights are totally cloudy. You see nothing. Only 1 in 9 nights in Ireland is totally clear. So you have to be ready. And I remember in the past standing watching an eclipse of the Moon, and it was raining on me. And eventually, a tiny crack appeared in the clouds, and there was the Moon, totally eclipsed, got a quick snap of it, and then the clouds closed in again. So if you'd been sitting inside, even checking the sky every 5 or 10 minutes, you could easily have missed that break. So when it's something special, like an eclipse, like Venus extremely close to the Moon, it's worth spending the evening checking the sky. Or if you have anything to do outdoors, try and do it outdoors at that time, or talk to a friend on the phone while you're standing outside. That's actually what I was doing during the eclipse. And you could get lucky. And I remember, you know, we've talked about the Irish weather forever. I remember another event when there was one of those big storms crossing Ireland. I think it was an eclipse of the Moon. And nobody expected to see anything.
Yeah.
There was a don't travel advisory on at the time. Yet people in Carlow got to see the eclipse, sent their pictures in, and they were duly published in the magazine a few years ago.
Yeah, and that's a good piece of advice you give people who, you know, because somebody's saying, well, what would I be doing standing out there waiting for? But you say, if you're on the phone talking to your mother, talking to your wife, talking to your son or whatever it is, I mean, you're there talking to them and you're looking up into the sky. So you're not actually, the waiting part doesn't really come into it.
Yeah, and now keep this in mind, August the 12th, only a few weeks away now, there's going to be an almost total eclipse of the sun. It'll be in the afternoon, late afternoon, early evening. So, you know, cue all the phone calls you have to make that day if it's mostly cloudy in Ireland. Hopefully we'll get gloriously clear skies for that one day, because we won't get a better eclipse from Ireland until September 2090.
Right.
There will be other partial eclipses of the sun. This one's 98% of the sun will be eclipsed. A lot of people are heading off to Spain, where it'll be 100%. You will get a total eclipse, which is... Those 2% make all the difference between 98% and 100%. The stars come out in daytime for a few minutes when you get a total eclipse, and we haven't had a total eclipse in Ireland since 1724 and won't get one until 2090. So you'll have to make do with this one on August the 12th at 98% until then. So, you know, if it looks cloudy, don't just give up. It's the sun, like it was the Moon last week, the brightest thing in the sky. It's going to be a tiny break, you will see. So it's well worth keeping a tip your mind. Just keep watching. It's an event happening for several hours.
And don't forget, folks, to tune into this program every Monday, because we will give you reminders of that date, August the 12th, for that. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be following up with more detail closer to that time. Now, David, we also mentioned the summer solstice on last week's program, and it arrived on Sunday morning at 9:24 a.m. What exactly happened at that moment, and why do astronomers regard it as the official beginning of summer in Ireland?
Well, it's not just astronomers. Recently, you know, since maybe the Second World War and certainly the advent of computers, meteorologists have been able to predict the weather a lot better than they could in the past. And so there's this idea of meteorological summer, which is based on the human calendar, which is totally arbitrary and just so happens June, July and August tend to be the warmest months. But that's not where seasons come from. They come from astronomy. The rest of the world, Ireland seems to be obsessed with June, July and August being summer. But the rest of the world regards the solstice to the equinox, that's June 21st till September, as being summer. And you know, we're about to have our first base on the moon in the next decade, and then on to Mars. Mars has its own seasons. People who watch Mars through telescopes can see the clouds coming and going because its axis tilted over as it goes around the sun as well. So we're going to have a new calendar on Mars, and we're going to have seasons. And they're already defined by astronomical events because that's what's happening. The direction that the Earth's axis tilts towards points directly at the sun on the instant of the solstice. That means the sun is overhead at its most northerly point on the Earth, somewhere on the Tropic of Cancer. It happened at 9:24 a.m. yesterday, Sunday, Irish time. And it also means it's the longest day of the year, so the time from sunrise till sunset is longer. 17 hours this time of year from Ireland. And that now will decrease. Bad news for sun worshippers, but great news for astronomers. Yeah. The nights are going to start to draw in for us now. We'll get more darkness, which is exactly what we want.
And we'll hear the Irish mantra kicking in very shortly now. The evenings are closing in. Yep. David, looking at the week ahead, Venus and the Moon seem to be the main attractions. What should listeners be looking out for in the evening sky over the next few days?
Yeah, we've sort of lost all the other planets. You may read online about planets in the morning sky, Mars and Saturn, but they're too low from Ireland. You know, so check Astronomy Ireland magazine, and not one's meant for people much further south. And the only two objects we've got left in the evening sky at the moment are Venus, which is quite low but very bright. So you will see it in the twilight. The sun sets around 10 o'clock. By 11 o'clock, you can still see Venus. It doesn't set till after night. I was looking at last night and several times last week. The moon, though, it was near Venus, obviously, last Wednesday when we saw it very close, or glimpsed it, might be a better word. And it moves away from Venus, and it'll stay low down in the southwest every evening. But the moon is an incredible sight in a telescope, if you've got one. Even a pair of binoculars will show it greatest. So we've got the moon in evening skies. Make the most of it. Even if you've got a tiny telescope and see those craters, they look really spectacular in my own telescope a few nights ago. So watch out for the moon. And it does a couple of tricks we're going to talk about. Lines up with bright stars in a moment. So Venus is going to be slowly getting lower over the coming weeks. So have a look at it this week, because it'll be a bit harder next week. And a few weeks' time, we'll have lost it too. And people may remember Jupiter was close to Venus on June the 9th. It's now really too low down to see. We just got Venus and the moon this week.
And then tomorrow evening, Tuesday, the bright star Spica will appear close to a 70% illuminated moon. Where should people look, and what does Spica such as, why is it, what makes it such an interesting object?
Well, Spica is one of the brightest stars in the sky. It's actually the brightest star in the constellation Virgo. Very interesting star, being one of the brightest, plainly visible to the naked eye. It'll be just above the moon tomorrow night, so as soon as it gets dark, in 10, 11, let's say, should get dark at some stage during that hour. If you're looking at the moon, you'll notice there is a star above it, and that actually is the star Spica. There's a diagram in Astronomy on magazine showing the view with the naked eye, if you're not sure what it's going to look like, but you'd be able to put your fist out at arm's length and easily cover the moon and Spica at the same time, how close they get. And you can snap that with your smartphone. We'd love to publish your best photo. If you want to send it to us, go to the website astronomy.ie, look at the contact page, you'll see where to send pictures to the magazine. And Spica is remarkable. It's 250 light years away, an enormous distance. Put it in context, it's about 6 billion times further away than the moon is. So when you're standing there looking at it, just remember, it's much, much bigger than the moon, but it's 6 billion times further away. It takes the light 250 years to get from Spica to here. It takes the moon's light 1 and a bit seconds to travel the same distance. And the big claim to fame that Spica has is that it's the closest star to the sun that's going to die in a supernova explosion at the end of its life. But don't worry, that's probably a few million years away. But it's a monster star, 12,000 times brighter than the sun. If we put it where the sun is, it would fry the Earth.
And, David, does thinking about those enormous distances, like 250 light years away and 1 light second away, does that help put our place in the universe into perspective?
I think it does, yeah, because it worked for me when I was a kid. I remember my first exposure to astronomy was a book called The Universe, and in it had a picture of the Earth and the sun next to it. I didn't realize the sun was 100 times wider than the Earth. I thought, wow, the sun's big. The next page, it had the sun as a tiny circle and a giant star, I think it was Aldebaran, next to it, which was 100 times bigger than the sun. And I thought, wow, that must be enormously huge. And on the next page, Aldebaran was a tiny circle, and there was another giant star. And it went on for several pages like this and just totally blew my mind that the Earth was an insignificant dot in the universe. And even stars aren't big compared to the universe. Not even the biggest star we know of. It's still a tiny speck of dust in the cosmos. And that really made me think, there's a lot more happening in this universe than they teach us in school. I got to know more. And it inspired me onwards to today. And if you're looking at the moon and Spica, it's a pretty sight, the moon with a star above it. And you start to think of the physical reality of the distances, what Spica really is, what the moon is. I think it makes people start to think, what a great way to get young people interested in space tomorrow night, Tuesday night, from 10 till 11. Hopefully they can stay up that late.
And then, David, on Saturday evening, another bright star, Antares, will be sitting just above and to the right of the nearly full moon. What can observers expect to see?
Yeah, Antares, again, one of the brightest stars in the sky. And it's the same bright as Spica. And about it'll be about the same distance this time. Again, there's a diagram in the magazine that'll show you what it looks like. The moon will be nearly full, though, on Saturday night. But that won't swamp Antares. Antares is very low in the south. It always is. It's the brightest star in Scorpius, which is a difficult constellation to see from Ireland. So you'll be looking at the moon and a bright star. If you've got a pair of binoculars, by the way, they'll show the colours of the stars. And Spica is sort of a bluish colour. It's very hot. Antares is a big, bloated supergiant, and it's quite reddish. Antares means ant rival. Antares is another name for Mars, so the rival of Mars, the red planet. And you can see the red colour in a pair of binoculars. You might be able to notice it with the naked eye as well. But you'll certainly see the two with the naked eye, as per the diagram in the magazine. And again, a very interesting star. It's bloated, it's huge, it's swollen up at the end of its life. It's about 10,000 times brighter than the sun in reality, and even further than Spica, it's 550 light years away. But it's so big that if you put it where the sun is, it would have the Earth going around inside. Even Mars, 1.5 times further out from the sun than we are, would be inside Antares. And that's the kind of thing that got me started, trying to realize how big all these stars were and the universe. So that's something to watch out for on Saturday night. If you don't get Tuesday night clear, maybe you'll get Saturday night clear and you'll get to see some of these objects next to the moon.
And one person who doesn't need to be reminded about the 12th of August is Kevin Leifar. He's just texting in there to say it's an easy date to remember because it's his wife's birthday. So he'll remember to go out and in the afternoon and look for that. It's on what do we call it? The
Antares next to the moon.
No, on the 12th of August.
Oh, and the eclipse on
the eclipse. There you go. Yeah. So Kevin won't forget it because that's his wife's birthday on that day. Now, David, the June full moon, often called the strawberry moon, is coming up next week. Where does that name come from?
Yeah, well, technically, the full moon in June is on at 1 a.m. on the 30th of June, which is Tuesday night next week. But That means Monday night next week, today week, it'll look full to the naked eye. That's the closest sun, if you like, to the exact instant of full moon. And the moon looks full to the naked eye for 3 nights. So the night before is Sunday night. You've got Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night next week to see the full moon. And at this time of year, the June full moon is always called the strawberry moon, because that's when the strawberry harvest is. People who love, like me, the strawberry festival in Enniscorthy every year, it's a great reminder that that's coming up. Lots of strawberries around. To go and gorge ourselves on strawberries and cream. And if you see the full moon at the weekend as well, that'll remind you. Won't look strawberry in colour. It's just named after the full moon in June as to what goes on in human society that we have the strawberry harvest. So we want people to take pictures, though, of the full moon rising. Line up with interesting landmarks or people or friends, statues, buildings, landscapes, anything. Get creative and send your best snap to Astronomy Island Magazine. Again, astronomy.ie. Look at the contact page and you'll see where to send your best smartphone picture. You don't need a telescope, fancy camera. Smartphones are good enough for this.
And David, the full moon holds a special place in your own memories, does it?
Yeah, if you're talking about the strawberry festivals, absolutely. But full moons are also the time when we have total eclipses of the moon. There has to be a full moon because the sun, earth and moon have to be in a perfect line. And that's what's happening during a full moon. We're looking, the sun is behind us. We're looking face on at the sun lighting up the whole moon's surface. And we had a recent, we'll have this eclipse coming up in August. That's of the sun when the moon gets between the earth and the sun. And the next big event that we have for eclipses of the moon is going to be a nice easy date to remember, New Year's Eve in 2028. So 2 years and a bit to wait. But on New Year's Eve, the good news is it happens fairly early in the evening, because remember, that time of year, the sun sets around 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. The eclipse will be over long before your parties begin, so you can enjoy the eclipse and then go out and celebrate it and the new year at the same time.
And, David, finally, for listeners who'd like to learn more, receive sky alerts and get detailed monthly sky guides, how can they become involved with Astronomy Ireland?
Yeah, well, there are diagrams like all the sites we've listed today. For beginners, published in Astronomy Island magazine, that's what we set it up for, was to get all 8 million people on the island out watching the sky. You don't need a telescope. You don't even need a pair of binoculars. There's enough happening with the naked eye. And also, you know, somebody's going to have a clear sky when any of these events happen. They'll get a snap. And even if you miss it, you'll at least get to see the pictures, Irish pictures, in Irish magazine every month. And it costs around €1 a week to get the magazine on subscription. There's also a weekly email that goes out to remind you of these things and anything new that comes up that we didn't know about when the magazine went to press. So, you know, if you don't want to miss anything of the Irish skies and you want to see what everybody else is seeing and read all the news from around the universe as well, you know, go to astronomy.ie and join. That's why we set Astronomy Island up. It's not for experts. It's for members of the public. Great for kids. Might inspire them onto a career in one of the sciences, ultimately, which would be a dream come true for us, because the more people out there studying cosmos, the better. And there wasn't a group like this when I was a kid, but this is one thing that drives me forward, to make sure everybody knows. And I'm glad to say that Ireland now has the world's most popular astronomy society. That's what Astronomy Ireland is. So everyone listening, tell all your friends to join, not just you, okay. Get everybody in, and we'll keep you informed through the pages of Astronomy Island magazine and okay. The emails. And if you can't even afford €1 a week, there's some stuff free on our social media, and it's all on astronomy.ie.
Okay, we'll leave it there. David Moore, editor of Astronomy Island magazine, thank you as always for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about what's on our skies, submit your own astronomy photographs or subscribe to Astronomy Island magazine and the weekly astronomy email, visit astronomy.ie. And we look forward to talking to David again next week. Thanks, David. Appreciate that. That brings us to the end of this evening.
My pleasure.
That brings us to the end of